Good morning. Feels like those furnaces are working a little too good this morning. We can turn those down just a little. We're just so proud of them. We just want them to just make sure you know they're there. We were singing that song, Hell Will Be Shaken. I forget how the words were, but the one line says, by our singing, and I said to Lori, I'm not too sure about that, that theology, but I know hell is shaken when we obey God and we obey His Word. And that's why He fights us so hard. The enemy fights that. We were at a conference a couple of weeks ago. We shared a little bit about it, and I'll say a couple of words from it, but just there's such a dearth in the land for understanding God's Word, knowing His Word. So Brad's comment in the prayer meeting and here this morning that we would hear and listen and obey His Word has been stirring in my heart because it goes in line with what I want to share this morning. Next week we will celebrate the Haiti Fund. This morning I want to talk to you about, well, I've given it a powerful name, if you can put that powerful slide up there. Conforming or transforming, but just I want to talk about maintaining a posture, a position of vigilance, not to be villains, vigilance. I see some of you are villains out there, that's why it's so good to see so many visitors. Welcome this morning. Some of you, I don't know, have I been gone that long? I preached a couple of Sundays away. Good to have Canada Net back. Bless you guys. They're working up in St. Paul for a few months. Anyhow, the rest of you, Brian and Val, welcome back. You don't know where they are. They're like the wind to and fro. God bless you this morning. So I'm going to be jumping around a bit, but I'm going to end up, and that's where I'd like to, I have three points, and then I have a conclusion that has 4 points. Just warning you. But 1 Thessalonians. Man, I need some water or something. 1 Thessalonians. And why is my Bible not on that? We'll get to it. Chapter 4. We were going through our devotions a few weeks ago, and old Nikki Gumbel and Pippa, we've been listening to their going through the Bible for a few years, so that's about the third time through. So we're starting to memorize all their examples, and sometimes I think, is that my example, or was that Nikki Gumbel? He's in my brain. But he was a challenge us to be different, to live different. And then we were at this conference, some of the things came up. So this morning, I just want to talk to you, basically, put it all in perspective of being transformed. Are we conforming? Are we transforming? I just want to start with Romans 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? Yeah. Then you'll be able to test and approve God's will, what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. But just the thought that we should be different, like if you feel like I don't fit in, I don't know where you're at in your life, but sometimes when I hear the thinking of the world and I hear the stories that are out there, it was Drew preaching last week talking about, you know, who are you listening to? You're going back to Egypt, you're going back to your idols. What are the voices that you're following? And we're more concerned about the consequences of our sin than we are of our sin and what God says about it. And that's been stirring in my heart. And so I'm reading these verses and I'm thinking, God, help us to be transformed, not just have information, not just hear, but to put it into practice, to obey, to walk with God, and to see the change in our life, to see the moving forward in our life. We don't just keep repeating these old ruts and going back to our old ways and saying, God, I want transformation in my life. And it comes through the Word. And so I'm going to preach, first of all, from Psalm 119. No, that's 150 verses, so just, you don't even need to go there, but you can if you want. But I'll take a couple of them. But the psalmist writing, he says, I am a stranger on the earth. And I'm asking that question, you ever feel like you don't fit in? We were praying in our life group for one of the young ladies in one of the families, and they wrestle with friends in school. And I remember back in the day, Melanie sharing that, she shared her testimony here, different times, coming to Canada, or even in Pretoria back in the day. You want to serve God, your life is different, you don't fit in. And so there'd be many times during the break or during the day, she would keep busy so that it wouldn't look like she had no friends and it didn't look like she was alone. And so you just do these things. And I remember Heinz back in the day saying the same thing. You look at people and think, wow, these are amazing people, talented, and yet in their school life, they don't fit in. They kind of have to wander between classes and look busy and keep things moving. So nobody realizes that they're by themselves. And I don't know how you feel sometimes in life. Do you feel like you're flying upside down in a right side world, or maybe you're right side up and the world's upside down? And the thinking in people's minds, and say, man. But when I was reading Psalm 119 in this devotion from Nikki Gumbel, that line just jumped out. We are strangers in the earth. Psalm 119, verse 22, he says, I am a stranger on the earth. Hebrews 11, 13, all the great men and women in the Old Testament admitted they were strangers or aliens on the earth. Excuse me. Peter in 1:17 says, live your lives as strangers on the earth. And again, in chapter 2, verse 11, he says, I urge you as aliens, like just admit it, as aliens, as strangers. You're supposed to live like that, but as those kind of people, as aliens and strangers, immigrants, exiles, misfits, I don't know what word you want to put in there, in this world, he says, abstain from sensual urges that wage war against your soul. And in Philippians 3:19, and I preached that verse many times, he says, our minds should not be on earthly things because our citizenship is in heaven. So you have this awkwardness. We are in the world, but we're not of it. We are dealing with everyday life just like everyone else, but we're doing it as a stranger, as an alien, as an immigrant. And I've talked a lot about being immigrants in a foreign land. Back in South Africa, we'd go up to the room 102 in Home Affairs, and we would stand in the aliens line, literally, aliens. And we'd stand in the aliens line to get our permission to have our visa. And it's kind of so we are in the aliens line in this world. And we shouldn't be surprised that our thinking is so different than what we hear the world speaking to us. And so my challenge is, where do you get your information? Where are you getting your encouragement? Where are you getting your message from for your life? And be careful what you're feeding your mind and your soul on, because this world is actually opposed to God. It actually hates God. And I don't want to repeat Drew's message from last week, but we are living in a hostile environment. We are built for Earth, but we're living in Mars. We are aliens. And we wrestle with, how do we bring forth God and bring forth our life and bring forth the Word of God that we believe? And I'm going to say a couple things about that, and yet live in this world. So that's our challenge. So the second part of my introduction is our thinking has to be shaped by God's Word. Amen? And that's what the psalmist says again. He says, I'm a stranger in this world. But he says over and over and over, and I'll just jump to it, Psalm 119, verse 20, says, my soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. As he reads the scriptures, he prays, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. He again writes, I'm absorbed, this is the MSG, and you know, you can do what you want with MSG, but I'm absorbed in pondering your wise counsel. Yes, your sayings are life and what give me delight. I listen to them as to good neighbors. Verse 24. What are you getting your thinking from? What are you delighting in? See, if the world is hostile to us and we are aliens to it, then we have to find a source of support and encouragement of who we are and what we are, how we are to think, how we are to live our lives, and it's the Word of God. And it's what God says to us and what God's Spirit is doing in us. And we have that super duper power inside of us, supernatural, that gives us the ability to live out the Christian life in this alien land. And in a way that pleases God, in a way that makes us supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural and all those things. So we're not just a bunch of weirdos, but actually we are. And some of us more than others. Amen. What am I going to do without you, Herman, on the front here to just slap? But I got a question for you. If you're given a choice, be honest, you could win the Powerball or whatever that thing's called in the U.S., you know, $1.4 billion. Not that I'm keeping track or anything. Checking my numbers. No. Hypothetical question. But here's the choice. Over here, $1.4 billion. It's yours. Or over here, wisdom. Solomon was given a choice. Be honest. Solomon chose wisdom, and God said, because you chose my wisdom, you'll get it all. Hallelujah. So I'm over here, yes, Lord. And it doesn't work like that. You're a liar. You still want the billion. So you're going to have to wait a while. It's like Joseph in jail. God, he sends that guy, the baker, whoever, go tell them, you know, I'm here. And God says, okay, another 2 years in prison for you, trying to help God. But be honest. This psalmist is writing about the law. Read Psalm 119. Go through it. He delights in the law. You know, everything else is against him. He's a stranger on the earth. He doesn't fit in. But he's delighting himself in God's word. He's finding hope. He's finding life. He's finding good counsel. It's a good neighbor. God's word is keeping him strong. And so we need to have our thinking shaped by God and by his word. I don't think we really believe God's word is best. I don't really believe that in my own life. It's challenged all the time. Do I really believe God's ways? Really believe that God knows best? Or should I help him? Should I work some things out a bit? It's okay, I've got this part. I'll do this. Or do we just say, yeah, I believe God's ways are best? We overvalue our thoughts and our feelings. Amen? I know we think our thoughts and feelings are important. And I'm not against any generation, but younger generation that's here, we're heavy in, I'm putting myself there. We young people. What are you laughing for? But we totally overvalue our feelings and our thoughts. What we think about something. And the Bible says God's thoughts, God's ways are so high above ours. That when we come with our feelings and our thoughts, we need to bring them to this and say, what does God say about those things? And just so you believe me, let me just name a couple of things. How about just light subjects? I got them written here and we could talk all morning. How about gender? How about the unborn? How about same-sex attraction? Just light subjects. The way people think, and well, I just believe, I just feel, I just think. What does this say about our life, about our identity, our maleness, our femaleness, about the value of life? You see, if you don't value one life, you don't value any life. You don't value the unborn, you don't value the senior, the old, you don't value life. Where are you going to shape your thinking from? What the world says, what's politics, what's voted in, what's popular is seldom right, and what's right is seldom popular. You know, we know all the sayings. Are you going to listen to the word of God? How about tithing? Oh, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, well, I'm just led of the Lord. No, you're just a liar. God's word is clear about generosity and giving. Oh, it's not about the money. It's about the money. Just quit the games. So what are you shaping your thinking around? The word of God or what's your feelings? Yeah, but it just, you know, any good psychologist will tell you cannot trust your feelings. Our feelings, our thoughts lie to us. The enemy puts thoughts that are lies in our minds. They got a term for it, ants. Automatic negative thoughts. It's human. It's human nature to go down those lines of, we're all going to die. I'm no good. I'm a failure. You're not a failure. You're breathing. You're living. There's every opportunity in the world for every one of us. And the lie of the world right now, the lie of the enemy is that there's no future. The world, you know, the earth is dying. Climate is finished. It's all a lie. God is in control. Go read the word of God. What does God say? There will be seasons until he says it's over. Yeah, there's signs and birth pangs. All creation is groaning because of sin. Yeah, those are true things. But God is in control. But you tell young people over and over, starting in grade 2, that the earth is finished and dying and there's no hope. And by the time, you know, 20-something, everything's dried up and finished. And then you wonder why they're a little bit depressed. Put them in a mask for the rest of their life. Tell them you can't breathe on each other. Like, what is that? God has created us to love him and to worship him and to delight in him, delight in the things of God. And we have to be those messengers who bring that message. God's ways are higher than ours. I love the psalm again. He says, my soul is consumed. Consumed with your laws all the times. It's like, no, my I don't have my cell phone on me. My soul is consumed with social media. 7 hours a day. Oh, those Democrats. Why do we care about the Democrats? We got our own problems right in Alberta. But what does God say? God is in control. What's going to change the nation? Prayer, seeking God, lining up to his word, challenging men and women. Why do you think we come and sit in the house of God week by week? People say, well, why don't you talk about abortion? We are. We talk about it every day by preaching the word of God. Keeping the main things, telling us who we are in Christ, who we are in our need for him as a Savior. Jesus is the only answer. Go back and listen to Drew's preach from last week. I don't want to preach it again. But do we really believe that? The real answer to your life is not more money, a better job, a different spouse, whatever, a spouse, no spouse, getting rid of the spouse. That's not the answer, Herman. Jesus is the answer. I got to get in these last shots. So. Number 3. I'm still in introduction, so quit laughing. Number 3. We have a choice to make like Daniel. This was Gary from our conference. Mark, sorry. She's been telling me all week, write his name down. But I got a super mind that... Mark, let me take a drink of water just to calm myself down again. Thank you, honey. Oh, rats, you've got it all up there already. I wanted to sound smart. Gary's thought, quit it, Russell. Mark's thoughts. But he was talking about Daniel and how Daniel could change his environment and his culture of his day and how he was able to bring God into an ungodly, troubled world. When the king spoke, the whole world was troubled. The whole entire world. And his point was that the world has been troubled through COVID, through whatever. The world is troubled. And so we have a choice. And he said, this was the four choices: become separatists, take care of ourselves, conformists, fit in, compromise, change our theology, antagonists, make statements, fight, get on social media, say what we really think about whatever it is, fight, or we can become like Daniel. And he positioned himself for purpose with tact and wisdom. And he spoke to the king in spite of the fact that he could have died for it. And he didn't back down. He wasn't antagonistic. He wasn't conforming. He wasn't saying, Daniel in his life, why go pray in front of the stupid window? Can't you just? No, he prayed what he did every day. You know, that picture. So what's our story? Our story is not to be fighters. Our challenge is to be catalysts, to bring the word of God, to bring life into the circumstance. And we have to have something to bring when we get there. And Daniel, he said, give me some time. Don't kill all the prophets and the sorcerers and the spiritists and everybody in the country. Just give me some time. I'll go away. And he prays and he comes back and he speaks to the king. And you know the story. Daniel served like four kings after that. Faithful man of God, changed the world because he stood for something and he knew what he believed. And he was a man who listened to God. Do we really believe God's word is true? Do we really believe what God says matters in this life? Or is it opinions? And it's just your opinion and my opinion. I have this thought around this, and I have that thought around that. Is it God's unchangeable, fallible word that we stand on in our life? Yeah, and then we got to bring it into the real world we live in. Our theology has to work in the light of day. But we don't base it on our feelings and our experiences and what the mob is saying. We base it on what God is saying. And we speak to a world that's in trouble. And, you know, I have to say many times, I want to choke somebody. You just see. It's like, I got to watch what I say because I'll offend somebody here this morning. But it's like, folks, you've been lied to. You're being lied to right now. Wake up. People are walking around scared, spitless. They don't say it, but they live it. Around finances, shrink down. This isn't a time to shrink your finance. What's changed? Yeah, the interest has gone up a bit. We had it in 13% back in our day. Like, the temperature of the earth. Come on, they keep showing, well, the record high was 150 years ago, the record high. Like, yeah, climate can change and move around, and God knows what he's doing, but it's like, am I going to live my whole life worrying about another pandemic that's coming? Jesus, I want to serve God. The world needs the message of Christ. It needs hope. Young people, kids, your children need to see you living large lives for God, full of faith, full of joy in Jesus. Because you love his word. You delight in it. It's your counselor. It's a good neighbor. This is the word of God. I'm living my life. Oh, you think that? Oh, sorry, man, but this is what God says. I'm going to live over here. I'm not fighting you, but I have a word from God. I know what he says. I can stand on that. And we'll speak to kings and we'll speak to leaders. This is the point that Mark, not Gary Laurie. Excuse me. I need a little. Close your ears. I'll keep that for later. But here's the point. God has placed us here at this time for an opportunity like none other. When the world is in trouble, when people are running, looking for answers. You know, the Old Testament, they say seven will take hold of the robe, the bottom of it, whatever it's called, of one. It's like people are looking for somebody who just has confidence in their life. Who just has joy, has just got peace. Doesn't mean you have no trouble. That's not what peace means, the absence of problems. It just means that God is with you in the storm. God is keeping the waves at bay. And yeah, our lives can get, whew, but it's like, I know who I believed. And I'm persuaded. And it's so attractive. But if you are just walking and flopping from, you know, one opinion to the other, sort of staggering, as the Old Testament shows, you know, how long will you waver between two? Like, one day you're over here, oh, next day you're over here. Quit it. Is God God? Serve him. I loved what Herman said at Life Group a few weeks ago. Give God something to work with. You're trusting God, you're believing God, he said something, then give him something to work with. Put your life out there. Can I use your example, Herman? Thanks. He didn't even say nothing, but I can, because I have the mic. We were in BC at that conference 2 weeks ago, seems like 100 years ago, and they, by God's amazing miraculous power, gives them opportunity to rent the perfect house. And we're chatting, they're chatting, they're saying, but we haven't sold. It's like, we got to sign this thing, and we're talking serious money. And they're the ones who say it, give God something to work with, sign the deal. And their house has gone pending this week back here. It's like, how many times, how many stories can we tell you that you step out and you believe God and you trust God? If God's not covering my back, we're dead. But God's covering our back. And it's for all of us. It's not just somebody. It's for all of us with our kids and our families and our lives. And so we can choose. What are you going to become? Are you going to see this as your finest hour? Are you going to see this as our moment? As strangers and aliens? You say, you know what? There's hope. All you weirdos here on earth. See, we are the strangers, but actually, no, you're the strangers. We've come from... We can get really weird with that one, but I told the story about the young guy we used to meet back in Entwistle days, and they're kind of dressed weird, and, hey, how are you? Oh, we're blessed. As soon as people say that first up, I'm a little nervous, but, oh, where are you from? No, I'm not of this earth. Okay. Nice talking to you. We're not those kind. But we can offer hope and life. We're not separate from people, but from sin and the world's mindsets. See, I preach a message about draw a line in the sand. Who's on God's side? Get on this side. You know, the Old Testament stories, taking the sword in their hand till it freezes in their hand. And some people see that as we must draw a line between us and them, you. No, us and the world. No, not between us and people. There shouldn't be a line between us and them. But there is a line between us and the thinking of this world and the standards of this world and what this world has to offer. We say, no, I'm on this side. And you're welcome to join. And if that puts me at odds with somebody, it's not because I'm trying to be belligerent and ugly. It's because I'm standing on something that I believe that is worth dying for, and that may offend, but that's okay. If I'm offending with truth, not some bad attitude, it's a different thing. But right away, if you think when I'm saying, you know, putting that over there is people, we have a problem. Because that's what the church is known for. Separating ourselves, arguing, fighting, antagonistic to people, not to the systems and to the thinking and the mindset that's behind it. People need to get saved. You can't expect somebody to live what you believe. They're not saved. They're not going to. But if they come and they surrender to Jesus, then like all of us, we submit to this word. Our lives line up to God's word and what he says and what he says about our life, what he says about every aspect of our life. This is his word. The trouble is for many, many, we don't know the word of God. And so we listen to one sermon, we listen to another sermon, we listen to one point, and it's like, no, God's saying, I want you to delight in my law. I want you to know it. Okay, for my four-point conclusion now. Used to be a big clock on that TV. That helped me, but I see that little clock, but this nice big TV one. You think I'm looking at something up there, but it's like, get moving. Cool. Now, here's my sermon. It is stinking hot in here. Who bought those furnaces? Send them back, country. I like the old days when it was 40 below or else. Suzanne's not even wearing a winter coat. Are you still wearing your winter coat? It's perfect. Okay. I won't say anymore. I'll never complain again. That's a lie. 1 Thessalonians, so you say, okay, so here's where I'm trying to conclude with. So how do we live different? What does that even look like? We delight in his law, amen? Yeah. We delight in what God says. But Paul, he says this. He says, we're called to be different from the world around us. We're given practical instructions on how to do this. And Paul writes in verse 6 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, let us not be like others. So what does that mean to be different? Besides a Daniel, besides living carefully. Oh, there's my notes up there again. See, you're not even looking at me anymore. Oh, that's the verse I read. Good. I made that slide. Paul uses four metaphors. And I promise I won't take long. He says, first of all, light, not darkness. Amen? I think you understand that what that means. We don't run away from the darkness, we shine in it. We are children of the light. Darkness implies ignorance and sin. That's the picture of ignorance and sin, disobedience, separation from God, whatever that darkness means. We are to be children of the light. And our light, our lives, are characteristic of what that means to walk in the light. It's our distinguishing characteristic. It comes back to what I've been saying. Where are you getting your information from? Do you inform the world or are you being conformed to the world? Are you a light or are you just sort of in the shadows and just sort of getting nailed by the darkness? Like, we are to be people of the light. Number two, and I said I'm not going to preach all these. Another, it's all in 1 Thessalonians 5, and I might close by reading his words. Day, not night. You are children of the day. You do not belong to the night. As well as the previous point about light and darkness, this also refers back to the day of the Lord. We are children of the day of the Lord with all this means in terms of anticipation and participation in the triumph of what the great day means when Jesus returns. And if I was taking time and you go back to 1 Thessalonians, he is writing about Jesus coming back. And he's telling them to be alert. He's telling them to wake up and to be people of the light, not darkness, people of the day, talking about that great day. There should be this anticipation in our life of Jesus coming back. He's coming soon for his bride. He's about to return. Amen? And we live like that. And we are people of that. So, yeah, thank God for the world we live in, and we are strangers and aliens, and yeah, we have to fit in, and yeah, we have to occupy. Yes, we have to be ready. We live here. We just don't get saved and get taken out. But we live with a different, what I'm trying to get across, we live with a different set of rules in our life. There's a different foundation of why we do what we do. We are anticipating that great consummation day when it's all wrapped up with Christ. And we live like that. And that's real. That's not just something preachers made up somewhere. What it means to be of the day and not night means to be watchful, having your eyes open, not dull-minded. Don't be dull-minded. Duh. What does God say? I don't know what to do. You do so know what to do. You just don't want to do it. It's like, quicken your brain. Give your head a slap. That was Mark. No. Gary. He's talking about... Whatever. Nobody cares. My wife cares. She's worried about this senile. He's talking to a bunch of preachers, but he's telling them, you know, who we are in the world, going back to Daniel and all that stuff. But he's like, you need to tell yourself every day, slap your head is all I remember. Smack yourself. I am anointed. I'm of God's man. I'm the voice in the world today. The world needs the message that I carry. Give your head a slap. I shouldn't do that so hard. Give yourselves a slap this morning. Don't be dull. Wake up. You're of the day. We are of Christ. Amen? Yeah. Have an answer at work. Have an answer at school. Don't just be, well, I won't get any marks if I don't, you know, if I don't disagree. And I just watch from grade kindergarten to the end, just the garbage that's being spoken and preached. And it's like, wake up. Wake up your kids. I sat with a few of the parents at our life group on Thursday night, and they talk about the dress code, and they talk about what's being taught. It's like, God, you better be speaking to your kids. You better be teaching them. You better be living something out that is opposite of that. Yeah. And give them the choice and let them see it. And Brad's one of my favorite examples of that here in the front seat. See, I'm going to be nice to Brad. He's staying. He's staying on it. It's like... Which brings me to number three, awake and not asleep, who are asleep. That's why I kept hollering about wake up. Wake up. Yes. That's right, Ben. Come on. We doze, but we're not allowed to go into a deep sleep. Wake up. Wake up. There's nothing you can say that penetrates somebody who's asleep. My wife loves it. I'm going to get a drink of water. We do our devotions together every morning. What day are we on? Day 289 or something. But that voice of Nikki Gumbel, it's so relaxing. Oh, yeah. How many times does she say, what is the point? And I'm like, because I'm a spiritual man of God. Wake up. You can't penetrate somebody that's asleep, because she tests me. She shuts it off, and I don't even notice. And then about 10 minutes later, yeah, that was a good point that he made. And I'm straining my brain to remember even what the title of it was. Forgetting about, you know, deep notes and deep thoughts and things. You can't help somebody that's asleep. Wake up! That's the Spirit of God is shouting to His church these days. Is wake up. The world's in trouble. Don't go down the rabbit holes. If you want to help someone, you got to stay above it and pull them out and speak life to them, and have hope, and have an answer, and bring something to the party. You know, start down the politics. Hey, we could go down. Say, God is in control. Yeah. What was Daniel's answer? Man, let us be an answer. The last one is sober, not drunk. And if I was preaching all of these, wow, I could talk about this one. My brother, the drunk, is here right now. What does it mean to be drunk? Ask Herman. He's a drinker. No. Paul writes, let us be self-controlled. This word literally means not intoxicated by wine. Like other metaphors, it speaks to both a physical and a spiritual state. Drunkenness arises from a lack of self-control, an indulgence of the senses in order to escape reality. Seek to be self-controlled in every area of your life. Put on clothing of faith, love, hope. Amen. Your lifestyle is to be totally different from the rest of the world around you. Self-controlled is what we're talking about. Not drunk or lighthearted or not serious, not taking things seriously. The world keeps us laughing. See, a couple of these thoughts I have written in my Bible from about, well, whenever I got this Bible, not 40 years. But I wrote in the margins under Thessalonians here to, you know, the world keeps us laughing. The world keeps us distracted, keeps us busy, fill your head, entertained, whatever, worried, whatever term you want. Just fill up your day, fill up your life with stuff. There's no time to meditate. There's no time to pray. There's no time to read the word. There's no time to sit back and say, God, what are you saying about my life? What should I be doing? You know, Carrie Brown, many of you know him. They often, every year, him and his wife, they take 2 or 3 days in January, go to a nice place at the somewhere, Jasper Park somewhere, take out their calendars and say, God, what is it you want accomplished this year, in the next 5 years? Like, I can't tell you next week, but some people are good at it. But just, God, what are you saying? What do you want my life to accomplish this week, this day? Like, and putting some of these things in place, being self-controlled. I like this line. This is what I had written in my Bible from years ago. We are not serious about serious things. The world just wants to keep us distracted, wants to keep us busy. And I'm here this morning in line with Brad's prayer. Could I have the worship team come, please? To hear what God is saying and then to obey it. Put it into practice. If there's one thing that I have wrestled with people, it's not information you need. It's transformation. It's the Spirit of God to somehow quicken. You know, we hear a message last week about sin. That was a good message last week. Okay. I'm telling you, for me this week, I'm saying, okay, the consequences of sin I'm more worried about than the sin. What is the sin? What is the thing in my life that needs to be brought to the altar of God? What is it? Then how can I live that out this week? And you have yours and I have mine. But it's like, I don't want just information. I don't want to just 4 points about being, you know, vigilant. So what? Unless you take it to heart and say, God, wake me up. Stir me. I don't want to be intoxicated. You know, as Peter Howard Brown, our friend in South Africa, used to say, you know, we are intoxicated by the slow drip of the breast of the world. We're just sucking on the wrong teats, as they say. What are you sucking on today? What are you filling your life with? Listening to the lies of the devil, telling you you're no good, telling there's no future, there's no hope, there's no life. It's a lie. You fill your life with the Word of God, what the Spirit of God says. You say, God, and we've already done it this morning. I love, Brad, I love you. Your English is so much gooder than my English. But just that the response, that's what we're talking about. Say, give God something to work with. Say, yes, pray for me. Man, my finance is chaos. My anger is chaos. I don't even want to start saying stuff. My life's out of control. I don't love my spouse like I should. I don't know. What do you even tell you? I've become apathetic. There's no more pathos. Apathy is without pathos, without passion. I've lost the passion in my life. Call to a prayer meeting. Wake up. Talk about finances. Yeah, but you know, I'm being led of the Lord. You're not being led of nothing. It's like, wake up. Serve God with your whole life. Body, soul, spirit. That's what I'm crying out for. It's like, if you don't know Jesus this morning, ask him to come and show himself to you. If you've been serving God for 50 years, but there's no life in it, then I want to challenge you with the Word of God. Let this be your delight. Let this fill your thinking. Let this, if you're young, let this become your thought life. Your automatic response when any issue comes up at school or at work or life. You're challenged with something. You don't go to marijuana. You don't go to alcohol. You don't go to the wisdom of the world. You don't go to the idols that you've built up in your life to kind of protect you. Get onto Netflix. Get onto something. Come to this. What's God saying to me about my life? What does He want me to do with my life? And I've already prayed for these four guys in the front row, but I'll call Brad to come in a sec. I love seeing you four guys sitting there. And we've already spoken to you. And there's rows of you. And I love seeing, I don't even know who you are in the very back row, all the young ladies back there. Meet the young guys over here. No. I love it. Are you conforming? Or are you being transformed? Amen. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just thinking, transformation happens when we take a step of faith forward. So once you guys all stand, we're going to open up the altar for some more time and opportunity for God to move.